Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tech Talk underway at our brand new time, Saturdays at 3, sports schedules permitting. Speaking of sports, Twins and Diamondbacks tonight on the radio. The pregame lineup card at 5:30. Joe Mauer's Hall of Fame induction ceremony will be carried live. Then we'll have the ball game tonight here on CCO. And by the way, if you want to be a part of the program, Tech Talk, you can call or text Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Doug's joining us. Doug, hope you're doing well.
Absolutely am. And, you know, a little bit warm today with the humidity and stuff, but it's a nice day. Going, moving right along.
Yeah, and if we do get that rainy day tomorrow, certainly a great day to work on your computer. And I want to open, we brought it up a week ago, but I want to open the show. Do yourself a favor. If you get a rainy day, I know there's chores to do in the house and all of that sort of thing. But while you're doing that, back up your data, your key files, photos, etc., whatever the device is, if you have a bunch of photos on your phone, but you're not using iCloud, or you have an Android device, and you're not backing up that device, back up your data. Do yourself a favor and make sure you get that done.
Indeed. And in fact, last week I had a gentleman bring in an HP ProBook that needed to be redone. And I couldn't see any data. Something had damaged his profile. Oh. Thankfully, this gentleman has got years of experience and had every file on three different systems. I went, oh, attaboy. That's the way it should be, just like that.
Well, and Doug, because it can be so easily replaced, the hardware that is. The data,
Indeed. That's
a whole other story. Recreating photos, forget about it. Important documents, et cetera. That is not easy to do. You can go out, you can get a new computer, you can go out and get new software. That is not a problem. It is all about the data. So if you haven't done it, use this as a reminder to get it done, if not today, tomorrow for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's at this point, there's really no reason that people don't have at least three copies. A working copy on their computer, possibly even a backup on their computer on a different drive, maybe. And then an external hard drive. I'm not so high on flash drives anymore because they're not what they were even a year ago. And then, of course, at least one up in the cloud. Google Drive, Apple, iCloud with Apple, iDrive, if you want a commercial backup program, there's several of them. I really like, it used to be we would do Mosey, but Carbon Copy bought them out, so it's one company now. They're doing a great job. And then there's also a company in California called iDrive, and they do a backup system that's second to none. So there's really no reason that this isn't getting done. I mean, this is it's been an issue. Don't wait until you lose data to learn that lesson. It just is not worth it.
Yeah, and Doug, I wanted to bring something else up, and this is a warning to people. If you haven't sold anything online or you haven't done it in a while, I would reconsider, because I've got an old boat that I'm thinking about getting rid of, and I've had it for many, many years. It's in pretty good shape, but it's an old boat, and it has been a week-long nightmare responding. I took out ads at a couple of spots, and the scammers and the trolls come out of the woodwork. Yeah, give me your address, your bank account. I'll send you the money. They don't even come and look at the stuff. And then on top of it, the idea of having these people come to my house to get this stuff. My wife, at the same time, we have a window air conditioner that we've had for a long, long time. Not going to bore you with the story, but we want to get rid of it. It works fine. I cleaned it up. It works just great. And she put that out on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
What a waste of time this both experiences have been. I don't know how you sell anything anymore, because in the old days you had the classified ads in the paper. Well, those no longer exist. So you're forced to go somewhere online, social media, or go to these other sites, and it is just filled with scam artists. It is unbelievable. And I went into it knowing that, but the goofy email addresses and the broken English and the people trying to, you know, get you to give up your address or bank account information. We're happy with the photos. We're happy with the price. I'm traveling on business. Give me your address. I'll wire you the fund. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It has been a nightmare.
Might be able to help you here, Steve. Nancy has hooked up with a neighborhood little website, and she sold several things just in the last couple of weeks. No muss, no fuss. The people are legitimate. They have to tell who they are in this little, and I think it's just strictly Inver Grove and South St. Paul. I can't remember the neighborhood, but look for something that's within your neighborhood, and there's a lot of them out there. That's probably the only way I would do this. If you get on Facebook and eBay or Craigslist, I don't think is even a good thing anymore. You just lay yourself out to too many people. But if you're in a neighborhood deal and they had to be logged on and registered over there, it's much, much safer. And that's working out for her real well.
Yeah, and the Craigslist is free. And we did sell a vehicle 4 or 5 years ago. We had our old wheelchair van, and I connected with a guy, and it worked out. I didn't meet him at the house. I drove him up to the local McDonald's, met him there. He looked it over. He thought about it. Then I met him back there again, and we exchanged funds, and he took the keys and drove away, and we kind of signed the paperwork there. But these were a couple of paid sites that I went through, and it has just been nothing but worthless leads and people that are trying to scam me, plain and simple.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go that route, be leery. It's amazing the number of people who have called from Canada wanting to drive down to the cities or buy the thing sight unseen, which is a dead giveaway.
Right.
Unusual email addresses are a dead giveaway. The idea that they're willing to pay what you're asking sight unseen is a dead giveaway. It's just been an amazing learning experience, and I wanted to share it. If you're going to think about selling something online, boy, I would tread lightly. Now, your idea of a local group or a community group, that might be completely different. But something that's open to the World Wide Web,
you really want to be educated there as well. Yeah, like in your case, you're aware of these emails and you look at the addresses.
Absolutely.
And common sense. Yeah, never, ever give anybody your bank account. Just tell them to send it to your PayPal account. If they want your bank account, they can actually transfer money over Western Union and you can walk in and get the cash. If they're legitimate, they will give you a legitimate transfer as well.
Yeah, sorry about that. And the thing is now, after this week-plus experience of trying to sell this boat by this means, it's just kind of like, do I even want to do this? Do I even want to bother? And it really all started with, I was thinking about trading it and just got such a low-ball offer on a trade. It's like, well, I'm going to try and get a few more bucks and sell it myself. And now I'm really questioning that. that, you know, is it indeed worth this trouble? But once again, tread very lightly on that. Now, flip side, buying things, unusual things, hard to find things. You brought up eBay. I've had really good luck with that.
But I
think eBay has done a nice job of vetting sellers and buyers and making sure that there's a firewall between the two.
Indeed.
So it's difficult to scam someone because you can look at someone's ratings. And really on eBay, your reputation is everything.
You bet.
And if you're seller on eBay and you have a bad reputation, well, forget about it.
I actually think that eBay is gaining ground last several years just because of that reputation rating. I think that's huge.
Yep.
And it's really difficult to work. I know a couple of companies that tried to work this, and they got by with it for about 3 weeks. And once they get caught, eBay completely blacklists them from ever getting on eBay again. So it's interesting how they've done that. They do tend to towards, if you have a controversy or some type of problem with a transaction at eBay, they do tend to lean towards the buyer, and rightfully so. They think that they feel that the responsibility to make sure that everything goes well should be on the seller side, and they don't mess around. And it even goes beyond a bad review. It's they'll get right involved in it right during the transaction if they see something that's amiss. I think eBay is a good thing. I really do.
Yeah. So just be aware if you're thinking about going that route. It is fraught with peril. Let's go to the text line. By the way, you can call or text plenty of time. Doug's on the air through 4 o'clock today. Twins and Diamondbacks a little bit later on. And Joe Mauer into the Twins Hall of Fame. Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Doug, curious for your opinion on the newer 15-inch MacBook Air from our text line. Seems like a really good machine. And the price point seems reasonable.
I have to be honest, Steve, and tell you, I haven't had my fingers on one yet, but I feel the same way. I have had a couple of people call me, and I was able to connect the three of them remotely. And I like what I see. They just snap right up. They're snappy. They're quick. And for the money, you're right. They're a good value. I like them. I like them a lot. But again, I got to preface this. I have yet to have my hands on one. That my experience has been strictly through three separate remote controls than what I've learned on the net, but I think they're going to be a good buy. I think, and it's going to be a good seller. Apple's got high hopes for this, and it looks like it's going to fulfill their hopes.
Yeah, they're building their own chips now in their computer. This has come up on previous programs, but in general, over the years, my wife's used a lot of Mac equipment. We have some Mac equipment in the house. I've been pleased. You spend more. There's no doubt about it. But in general, it has been worth the money.
Oh, I think so, too. And I don't know if people realize this, but if you have a Mac and you do like a dual boot and have Windows on there, Windows will actually run faster on a Mac than it does on a PC. I can't explain that. I really can't. And the new chip actually is even better. If you get yourself a virtual machine, something like VMware or a virtual desk from Oracle, you have to follow Apple's prescribed thing to allow the Mac to maintain control over the boot sector. But they run great once you get it set up. So you can have Windows on a Mac. I think it's a great, great thing.
Yeah, and once again, you're going to pay a little bit more. I think when you look at, say, for instance, a nice Windows machine versus maybe a Mac, you're generally going to pay more. But let's face it, you can get some pretty expensive PCs as well.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, I think that people are starting to react to a lot of the, the forced hardware upgrade that Windows 11 and 12 are going to be. A lot of people don't care for that. Yep. I think it's going to actually increase Apple's bottom line, and I think it's going to be harmful to Microsoft that they're taking such a hard-nosed stand. You know, well, you can have that in this processor, but not this one, and they were built a month apart. People are going to be – they just don't like to be forced into things. You know, that's my experience. It's just against human nature grain, so to speak.
Quick break. We've got much more on the way here on Tech Talk. By the way, you can text right into the studio on the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. If you call the studio, you'll visit with Josh Wheeler, our producer on the program. We will come back. We're going to talk a little bit about chips again, this time Intel versus AMD, and how that plays into gaming. We'll get into all of that. And Prevazor as well, it's come up. How often do I use it? This has come up before on the program. How often should you use that wonderful little program to clean up your computer? We'll get Doug's opinion on all of that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart in. Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line available at 651-461-9226. Doug, there's a lot of confusion about chips, and it's hard for people to really understand. I think when you're looking at an automobile, okay, this is an all-electric, or it's a hybrid, or this is a four-cylinder with a turbo, or this is a V6, or this is a V8. A lot of people understand that. When you start talking about the latest and greatest chips and Intel's latest and greatest and AMD, and we brought up Apple's M1 and M2 chips, how is the average person able to figure any of this out?
You know, if they were really going to be smart buyers, and I advise that they are, they really should take some time to learn about all of the designations, especially the last couple of years. These numbers are flying around like crazy. Well, up to 4 gigahertz, up to 5 gigahertz. Well, I don't even really look at that. I want to know the base speed. If I have an old processor today that's running 3 gigahertz, and I'm looking at a new computer that has up to 5 gigahertz, but the base speed is 2 gigahertz, I'd be better off to keep my old computer and just repair it. That's my opinion. And in addition to that, Intel alone, and I know AMD does some of this, but probably not as much. Intel will have like an extra couple of letters at the end of the actual model number. HD is high performance, and they change them periodically. It really is about marketing. And a lot of times I think people are buying computers and thinking they're getting more computer than they're getting rid of, and they're not. And I think it's important that they take some time to study. And the best place to look is just go under some of the benchmarking websites. They get into some pretty quick and concise explanations of the chips and why this one's faster. And it isn't just about just being slick and being the biggest on the block. It's more about going to these places and just doing a quick scan and learn about what they say, why that chip with that designation is better than this one. And they're on top of it. They do this for a living every day. So that's probably your best bet. Get on Google and just start, what's the difference between this and this? And within probably 5-10 hours, you'll be confident in what you're buying. That's the biggest reason I think people should know about this. That way they know what they're getting.
Yeah, and beyond that, I think when you get into people who are gaming or doing some of the simulator games like Flight Sim, I've dabbled in it a little bit and got an Xbox for that, and it is really interesting that, you know, once you start getting into that high-end, high-power computing and graphics, you really got to dig in and read a lot of reviews and get a lot of feedback on that.
No doubt.
Because once you get into that, you're talking really big money.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I wish I had a dollar for every gamer that came into my place and said, you know, I brought this video card. One guy spent almost $3,000 on a video card. Video card alone. Whew. And it was just so much that his computer just he couldn't even take advantage of a tenth of what he paid for. And he ended up rebuilding his computer to match that video card. And that can happen as well. It really is a trade-off. And I guess what I like to see is if people kind of limit themselves a little bit, because once they start learning about these specs, they start to find out that they're selling video cards, are a perfect example. They're selling video cards that will produce things that the human eye cannot see. Well, if you can't see it, why pay for it? Plus it puts more pressure on your computer. So yeah, there's a happy medium to all this, and marketing is marketing, no matter how long we live, right?
Yeah. And I also think that kind of gets into, and over the years with automobiles and horsepower and 0 to 60, et cetera, there's still a speed limit out there on the highways. Most of us follow it. But I think with computing, once again, high-end gaming, simulation, all of that sort of stuff. But I'm pretty impressed with just an off-the-shelf Xbox or PlayStation. These are amazing pieces of equipment. And now once again, you know, they're not particularly cheap, but they are extraordinary. And we have talked about what the gaming industry has done. And I'm still amazed by my youngest daughter, and she'll play with friends, and they're scattered. A couple of them are down in Texas, and they're able to game together in real time and communicate while they're gaming. It's amazing.
It really is. And, you know, the thing is once your Xbox is out of warranty, I also suggest that you jump on YouTube and see if you can kick it up a notch. Sometimes you can just take a couple of screws out, take the back off, make a couple of modifications, and double your speed. Seriously. That people are into this kind of thing, and it really does make a difference. If you do that, you'll learn about how to control the heat better, which is a big factor with all gaming. It generates your piece of equipment, no matter what it is, it's going to generate more heat than normal, which is something to be cautious about. And YouTube is a tremendous source. Just anywhere on Google, you're going to find things, but YouTube is a great place to start with anything that has to do with gaming. And you can actually go to YouTube and put in your specific model number of Xbox or PS1, PS2 or whatever, and it will bring you up an unbelievable amount of information. And be cautious. It's got to make sense to you from a common sense standpoint. If it makes sense, give it a shot. I couldn't encourage that more. The more they know, the better buyer they're going to be and the happier user they'll be.
Yeah, just with all the options. Quick break. We're going to come back. We'll get into that purveyor question. How often, once a week, once a month, should people run that wonderful cleanup tool on your machine? We'll get Doug's thoughts on that. By the way, still plenty of time to get in on the program. Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. We'll have the weather in a moment. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindhart in. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to give us a call on the show today. Josh Wheeler is our producer. Text is great. Gets you right into the studio. Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. Doug, let's talk a little bit about Purveyor again. And this is a program that you've been recommending for a while. It is free. There is a pro version you can pay for. Number one, what does it do? And then beyond that, I think the follow-up is, how often should people run this? I would assume daily is overkill.
Not necessarily, but generally I would say that, because you don't want to be beating on your hard drive any more than you have to. But what Purveyor really is known for is just keeping everything clean and tidy in the background, many things that most people don't even have a clue about. It's temp files, shell bags, and making sure that your dynamic link library files are all up to snuff, and it really does a great job. Now, it does have a scheduler, and I would think that for most people, if they ran it once a month, would be fine. But this really depends on how much you're using your computer. If you're on that baby 6 to 8 hours a day, once a week by no means is going to be overkill. Once a day still might be a little heavy. I guess for me, I have two Windows machines here in the house, And as soon as they start feeling slow, I just run a quick manual and get it out of the way. And once you run it and let it go through and clean and optimize your drives, the first run might take a while with drives, up to 2 hours sometimes. But after that, it's a couple minutes, and it's all done. So there's really no reason you have to worry too much about it. But like I say, if you got a solid-state drive, there's no reason to be beating on it any more than you absolutely have to. So find that minimum. Seems like human nature is the pendulum. We go from one extreme way to the other. And it's better just to kind of find that sweet spot in the middle and just stay with that. But it's a great program, and I would recommend it for every Windows user. Every Windows user. Bar none.
Yeah, PRIVAZER is the name of the program. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it for a while. It is a good one. There is a free version. There is a pro version as well. And always a good thing if you like a program to pass that money along and not 100% take advantage of the free version. All right, from our text line, we got some good ones. Hey, Doug, in the past you've talked about converting an old hard drive to use it as a backup for our data by using a case, put it in a converter box, if you will, or an external case. I have two that I want to convert for backing up to my data. Where do I get these hard drive cases?
Oh, that's simple. Yeah, probably the best place is going to be either Micro Center right in St. Louis Park, or you could jump online and find one on Amazon and have it delivered to your house. If you've got an older computer, you're probably going to need a 3.5-inch drive. If you've got a laptop, I can almost guarantee you're going to have a 2.5-inch. And if you got a 3.5-inch, I always recommend to people that they look for an external hard drive case with an external power supply, especially if you're going to be plugging it into a laptop. You don't want to be sucking all that power off that laptop. But under most cases, even a 3.5-inch drive, you can get a tremendous external case for less than $30. And you can get them cheaper than that, too. But don't go too cheap on the 3.5s. The 2.5s, they're a little bit different story. You can find one of them for $7-$8. Let the good times roll. Big thing is I don't recommend that we leave these things plugged in when we turn our computers on. I want that boot process to be clean from what's within the system.
Wow.
It's the way to go.
Yeah, so in other words, unplug that external during regular use and only plug it in when you want a backup, et cetera.
Absolutely. And for people that got a desktop, if they buy a 3.5 external case, they can leave that baby sitting right on top of the tower. Almost all of them got an on and off switch. They can even leave it plugged in their computer, but turn it off. If it's off, it's the same thing as not being connected at all. That way it's just one little button and you're back in. Have that thing running when you're using it, when you're copying files from your local hard drive to your now backup hard drive. And it is really sweet. If you know for sure you've got all the data off that, go ahead and do a format. If you've got more than one operating system, you're going to want to format it with FAT32. If you've got strictly Windows, you can go ahead and format it with NTFS. If you've got an Apple, you can use the Apple format, whichever it is. They've got several. But if you're going to be moving it from computer to computer, FAT32 is going to be the way to go. And it's little things like that will come up when you're preparing your drive. And there's, again, information on the internet is just, there's a plethora. And within an hour, you're going to feel like a pro, and you're going to be darn glad you did if anything ever happens to your computer, that you've got that extra piece of data. That's a good point. Good text. I really appreciate that one, Steve.
Yeah, external hard drives. For instance, just quick search. Best Buy, this is an external hard drive ready to go. 5 terabytes at Best Buy, $109.99.
Oh, God, that's cheap.
It's insane. Here's a 2 terabyte Seagate, good brand, $70.99. Yeah. Works with a Chromebook. That gives an example how cheap an insane amount of storage is.
Yep, and these are probably spinner drives, and the reason that price has dropped is because people now are just buying an external case, they're buying an SSD drive and putting it in there, and they got one that is lickety-split. However, keep in mind that when you plug that thing into a USB, no matter how fast the drive is, no matter how fast the external case is, you are still bound by the bottleneck of the USB port itself. And another opportunity to learn something about your computer. How fast are my USB ports? And they're all different. Well, there's a bunch of them. And so you might be better off to buy that great big 5 terabyte for $118 because you're not going to get much more speed out of it than you would if you spent $300 and built one. And just keep that in mind. It's a lot of numbers game, but most of it is just common sense. And once you've been exposed to it, you got it, you lock it in, you own it in your head forever.
Yeah, it is crazy how cheap storage is right now. That gets back to what we talked about at the beginning of the program. Really no excuse to back up your data in the cloud or on an external hard drive right now. If you want to make one from an old hard drive, that's great. If you want to buy one, it is relatively inexpensive. And the vast majority of us would never use 1 terabyte.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. I brought computers in here where people have 1 terabyte and they got Windows. And I take a look, and they, even with completely full of bloat, they don't even come close to 200 gigabytes. That's a fraction of that terabyte. It's about 20% somewhere in there. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'll take that, and I'll say, well, let's put you in a 500 gig SSD drive. It's much cheaper. No reason to buy more than you're going to use. And then we put 2 operating systems on it, clean up Windows, and they got tons of space on both sides. Yeah, it just works well. But, yeah, I agree. These massive hard drives, unless you're going to get into a media center where you're filing movies and keeping 2 weeks worth of upcoming TV on hand and that kind of thing, there's just no reason for those big drives. Just no reason at all.
Quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about someone who got a notice to do a Microsoft update and temporarily lost all their files, but then they came back. We'll get Doug's thoughts on that in a moment. Beware of the updates. We'll get into that in more detail. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart is joining us. By the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program today as well here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug joining us until 4. Still time to get in on the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line. All right, Doug, here's a good one from that text line. Screen had a red box. It said I needed to do a Microsoft update. So I did. Lost all my files. Next day they came back. What happened? Something about my profile and they created a temp profile. What's going on?
Well, I'm not really sure, but this is This went on a little bit when we went from 8 to 10 as well. The process they created was they just took a full copy of your computer and popped it up on part of the OneDrive server, my understanding. So it could have been that for that length of time, he had no files, but then they really weren't lost. They were just moved off the hard drive so we could do our thing. This is part of my problem with sending out even a notice that, well, it's time now. Because people think that Microsoft is encouraging you to do this, and they are. But let's face it, 10 is going to be valid, I believe, through 2025, or at least I think it's like September of 2025. What's the rush? There's no rush. In addition to that, it's already been proven by many, many, many users, especially in the gamers industry, that Windows 11, if you've got an AMD, for example, you're not going to get the performance out of your computer on a gaming site that you did with 10. Now, 12 is another whole different situation.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see another thing where a lot of people are going to prefer to wait and skip over 11 and go right to 12. And again, I think it's just too pushy of Microsoft to be doing this. And I do believe that as we get closer to, well, next year, they're going to become more intrusive with these recommendations. And the whole thing with this trusted platform modules that you have to have in computers to upgrade. I just disagree with all that. You can actually shut that off on most computers and they'll run better. And in fact, there are companies in the world, Germany, Japan especially, where they won't even allow this the TPM modules. They don't want them. They don't want them in the processors. They don't want to have any part of them. It just gives too much control online that we shouldn't have to give up. So I think Microsoft is making a mistake with this, but at the same time, they got to do something to, how do I say, expand their reach. Yeah, but it's I think it's over intrusive. They shouldn't be doing this.
Here's a good one. This hasn't come up that I can think of on the program. When someone deletes an email, you go in and you know you've got your spam folder, and those are automatically deleted. But say you go in and you clean up some of your saved emails, and you get rid of the old ones and the stuff you don't need, etc. Where do they go? Are they completely gone?
Probably not. I can speak for a Gmail account or a Google Workspace account. Most people don't realize that there is kind of, it's not actually hidden, but it's just not visible. And it's called All Mail. That will maintain everything forever. Sent, received, spams, everything. And I believe most email servers are set up to monitor that, but they don't give you access the way that Google does. It's, no, once something's on the internet, I think people should just stop and say, yep, it's forever. It really, you'll be better off if you take that approach anytime you're online. And it really is. It's saved someplace, somewhere, forever.
Yeah, there is a permanence of it that needs to be kept in mind. I think that is good advice. Text, email, anything you share on social media. You may delete it, but I have a feeling that someone's got it somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Even if you got permission to go in and change some of the things on your profile, you can delete that. Well, you can. But somebody's got it someplace. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah, for sure. This is a good one. We haven't talked Windows 7 in a while. What should I do with the Windows 7 machine? This is from our text line. Are there any upgrades? Are there any options for an older Windows 7 machine?
Oh, my, yes. You could actually just take that baby and put Linux on it, and there's a plethora of distributions. Want to spend a little more time with that one and go online and find out the right distribution for your hardware. And they've got them all the way back to a computer with 512 megabytes and a small 80 gig drive. There's Linux available that is kept up to date and secure just for those old machines. That's just one option, but there's plenty of options. That old machine can become all kinds of fun stuff. I know there's places on the net where people are taking these older computers and they're actually creating an actual custom media center for their house. And it just works wonderful to save these movies and to give access to different pieces of equipment legally throughout your local area network. It's just all kinds of stuff to do with them. I know one gentleman that made his own security system out of it.
Wow.
He wasn't all that techie, but he had lots of time and started playing around with it as a hobby. And he's got a whole security system, watches all of his cameras, and it's secure, and it's just right on the money. Yeah, there are plenty of things to do with these things. Be creative.
Yeah,
hang on to that
way,
equipment.
We'll have your phone number and email in a moment if you want to reach out to Doug on how to keep that old equipment functioning and new operating systems, et cetera. Doug would certainly visit with you about that. All right,
absolutely.
Finally, real quick, we've only got about a minute. Will a micro SD card work well with my Chromebook?
A micro SD card. I think it will be able to save data. You couldn't really be changing operating systems with that, but I believe it will. I think it'll work just fine.
Yeah. All right. Check that out. I think they're relatively inexpensive. You could play around with it. I wouldn't put anything too important on it if you're going to play around with it. By the way, Doug's phone number and email promised at the beginning of the show, promised a moment ago. Doug, how do people reach you during the week?
Oh, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin, admin, at wccotech.com. WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve.
Yeah, Doug, good to visit with you as always. We'll do it again in a week. Our new time, Saturdays, between 3 and 4 o'clock, sports schedules permitting. I think this fall yet we have a couple of Twins conflicts, but we'll keep you up to date on that. Once again, Doug Swinhart joining us here on News Talk 830-WCCO. We've got a moment to get you up to date on the weather. And there's been a lot of hand-wringing about the weather. You watch TV weather, and almost every night this week. Oh, it's going to rain Saturday, and it's going to be a complete rainout on Sunday. Well, the updated forecast says this, partly sunny this afternoon, high near 86. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the wee hours of the morning. Then on Sunday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly in the morning. Then maybe a shower or thunderstorm later in the day. Otherwise, cloudy and 73. East-southeast winds at 10 miles an hour. Doesn't look like a complete rainout to me, even though we do need the rain. Then on Sunday night, just a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Monday, sun's back, sunny and 81. Right now, cloudy, 81 degrees. And we have the news at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney. And then we'll get you ready for the Twins and the Diamondbacks, game two of the three-game set, coming up tonight here on CCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.